whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I want to go back to that for just a sec. Are the Warriors better the second they do that? I believe they are. I want to backtrack, though, and say, my God, I think Andrew Wiggins is playing phenomenal this year.
Yeah.
And I am a big fan of Andrew Wiggins. I want Andrew Wiggins on the Warriors. But timing is everything. And in this moment, where I do believe the Warriors have arrived at Goodville, but not Greatville, they're not good enough. They're good, but they're not good enough. And we know the Warriors. They're not playing for third place. They don't care. They do not care. They want to play big. They want to play for keeps, all of that. And if that's what you want to do, then here's what I would say. I would say you absolutely need to find another ball handler, somebody who can create and score and help them late in games and help them when Steph has a knee tweak and help them when Steph is off the floor, all of that stuff. They need someone who can do that. Schroeder probably does that. And then outside of that, knocking down threes and playing great defense is the way that this basketball team will win. And Cam Johnson, if you just spotlight those things, is an upgrade on Andrew Wiggins. And Melton is not playing basketball.
Right.
So if you ask me if they're better turning Wiggins into Cam Johnson and Dennis Schroeder, yeah, the answer is yes.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder is a career 84% free throw shooter, 89 this year, which has been a little bit of a sore spot for the Golden State Warriors.
Totally.
And I also think that Schroeder, the way he goes about playing defense, and I know he's getting older and he's not the same defensive player, but there's a reason why you don't love him, and it's because
he's an instigator.
He's a gnat. He's feisty. And he gives you that sort of a defensive bite that I think that this team would love to have, because you have a good bunch of wing defenders. And Wiggins, you know, to go from Wiggins to Schroeder is a step down defensively. But to go from Cam Johnson to a guy who's not playing defensively, that's a step up.
This is what Shams Charania wrote specifically about these Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
And we'd love to hear from you right now. Who is the target you want? You want the Nets package? You want Jimmy Butler? Do you want LeBron James? Do you want to bring up another name? 888-957-9570. We will take your phone calls right now on who you would like to see the Warriors get. Because we can tell you this, the Warriors think they need to make a trade. That's what the Warriors think. That's why all of this is coming up constantly. The Warriors have the same opinion that most of us do. They're good, but they're not good enough. That's how I feel. They're good, but they're not good enough. And I think they feel the exact same way. I think Steph Curry feels the exact same way. And they're good enough right now to tread water and hang in there, hanging around, hanging around. They can do that. But if, like, again, are you serious? What are you serious about? And the Melton thing, I think, shook their trees. And so they feel the need right now to have someone other than Brandon Pajemski in that role, or at least to help bolster Brandon Pajemski. So again, here's what Shams wrote. Quote, the Nets have received trade interest and opened exploratory conversations around forwards Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith and guard Dennis Schroeder. After trading Mikal Bridges to the Knicks last summer, the Nets were looked at as a seller. The Warriors are among the teams that have expressed interest in those three players. So again, keep in mind the way he wrote that. He did not say they're interested in talking to the Nets. He said they're interested in those three players. And then listen to what he writes next. This is actually really important to me. Quote, rival teams believe the Warriors are open to using injured guard D'Anthony Melton's $12.8 million expiring salary along with draft incentives to make a potential deal for that salary range. There is nothing in here that says Jonathan Kuminga.
Right, right.
And I get that they're going to have to get the salary up there somehow, and you can't just do it with draft picks. But there's nothing in here that says what the Brooklyn Nets are looking for is Jonathan Kuminga. What this says to me is that Brooklyn is looking for draft picks and expiring salaries. The Warriors have both to offer. They're going to need somebody to buffer that number up, and it's probably not Kuminga. It's probably Wiggins. So how do you feel about this deal if it means Jonathan gets to stay? That, to me right now, is my favorite part of it because it gives you two more months to assess Jonathan Kuminga in what is seemingly this new role that they're giving him, and then you can make further decisions in February, whether that's have more trade talks at the top of the market or extension talks or what have you surrounding Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, just more information, certainly. I wonder about Brooklyn and if they're going to trade Cam Johnson, and I think that he probably is a guy who's primed to move. He's got 2 years left in his deal after this one, and he's going to make $43 million over the next 2 years. So if you're looking for financial relief, that would be a player. Nick Claxton's another one, but he's a younger player, and he's under good team control, and his contract also is going down year over year. So you probably would rather keep him. And as I was mentioning before, you got to keep somebody. You can't just play a bunch of guys on a minimum salary. The team, the league has a salary floor, but I ran this one through the trade machine for Cam Johnson, Melton, Kuminga, and Gui Santos, and it works.
Just for Johnson?
Yes.
That's too expensive.
Well, Melton doesn't play.
Yeah, but that's gave him Jonathan Kuminga.
Right, but then if I'm Brooklyn,
yeah,
I'm going to look to get something back that I actually like. And if it's Andrew Wiggins, then good. And other than that, I'm not just going to take your detritus or your leftovers.
No, that's not what they're
just because I want to shed salary.
Again, what Brooklyn, I'm taking from this report, what Brooklyn wants is flexibility and draft picks. They do not want, I'm not saying that they don't like Jonathan Kuminga or wouldn't want him, but I don't think what Brooklyn is looking to do is acquire a player that's about to cost them $200 million. I don't think Brooklyn wants that. That's not like, why would they, you know what I mean? I don't think Kuminga, in a weird way, is as attractive as Melton to Brooklyn.
Well, right, because Melton's just going to be off the board.
Right. Kuminga does the opposite. He escalates.
Well, you got to take somebody. It's an escalation sensation is what it is.
It is. Yeah.
In theory. I mean, I don't know if he's going to make $200 million. I don't know what the number is going to actually
be. But it's a big number. It's a big number. You're not getting Jonathan Kuminga for less than, I don't know, $150 million total
for 5 years.
On that next extension.
Exactly. Well, if you're Brooklyn and you want to rebuild and you really like Jonathan Kuminga, and if he continues to play the way he's been playing, then he becomes more attractive. And if he is trending toward being this kind of player, an explosive guy who can carry a team for stretches, maybe it changes your tune.
I don't feel like the Warriors are ready in this month of December to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Not unless what they're doing is an elaborate ruse to build his value by putting him out there, upping his role, having Draymond Green do press conferences saying he's him, he's the next one, this organization's heading in his direction. Unless they're doing all of that just to gas him up, maybe. They're not above it.
Well, they've done it before.
Yeah, but not to this level. I mean, I don't think they ever did that with Jordan Poole.
No, they did it differently. They paid him.
They paid
and
him.
Then
I didn't hear anybody say he's the future face
him,
of the organization.
Then they paid him, and then they played him,
right.
And then they dealt him.
It's a lot of peas.
Yeah. I ran out of peas.
That's okay. Mike in Oakland, let's take your calls on this. What trade do you want to see him make? Mike, you're on Willard and Dibbs. What's going on?
Carl, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
At one point in time, Brandon Ingram was available, and I kind of liked him alongside of Steph. I was trying to figure out maybe what we would have to give up, maybe to give him between Kuminga, Melton, maybe even Wiggins.
Mike, can I be straight with you? This is my opinion about Brandon Ingram. The Warriors don't want him. I get where you're coming from. I got nothing against anybody who thinks they should. I don't think the Warriors see Brandon Ingram as a fit. I don't know how familiar you are with when Steve Kerr was coaching Team USA, Brandon Ingram was there. It didn't go well. There's obviously a huge financial ask there for Brandon now and into the future. I just don't think I don't think the Warriors are in on Brandon Ingram.
Got you. Yeah, I'm just thinking of that second score for Steph. So, yeah.
I get it. I get it, Mike. Thank you so much. I get it. I mean, it's funny because the players we're talking about are all of the sudden, they're not the players we've been talking about. We spent the entire offseason and the start of this one going, they need that number two dog. And now suddenly we're talking about a bulk trade that has a bunch of different pieces, and none of them are number twos.
Right.
That's not what any of these guys are.
No, they're all like twos and threes, and that's what the team already is. But if you could upgrade, and, you know, Cam Thomas is a guy who could come in and be your number two scorer, but I don't think that his game necessarily fits with what the Warriors do. Here's one I just ran through. Brandon Ingram to the Warriors in exchange for Wiggins and Melton.
I'm out.
Even for just Wiggins and Melton.
I just don't think Brandon Ingram is a fit. I don't think Brandon Ingram is a fit. I think he is a yawn on the defensive end. And what's his contract? What are we looking at with Brandon?
$36 million this year.
And then what? How many more years?
I'll come up with that, but it's, I think, 3 more years or 2 more years.
Brandon Ingram's contract is, let's see, his 4 years. He is not a free agent until, 2025, 26. So he's expiring. He's expiring. That's not the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, so now you're giving up Andrew Wiggins and your flexibility. Melton is a real chip with regard to all of this trade talk to essentially put all your chips in the middle of the table for Brandon Ingram as a number two scorer.
For half a year.
For half a year. And he's going to come in and learn a new system, which he already didn't like. It doesn't feel like the spot to me. And again, they're looking for a ball handler.
Yeah.
And this is not that.
I don't really like the player anyway. I just was throwing that in the trade machine just to see what that might look like, with Melton, of course, being the centerpiece of everything.
Atco in Oakland is next up. Again, we're taking your calls. What trade do you want to see the Warriors make? 888-957-9570. Hey, Atco, what's up?
What's going on, guys? For the caller who just called about Brandon, he just got hurt last night, I think.
That too. Yep.
And I would say Cam Thomas. I was listening to Plus Minus Par with Anthony Slater the other day after the Oklahoma City loss, and they said what this team is missing right now is Jordan Poole. So I would say Cam Thomas. Thomas, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Echo. Appreciate it. Cam Thomas is the young guy on Brooklyn who is, he's a
24.7 a game.
He's a bucket getter. He's not good on defense. I disagree that what this team is missing is Jordan Poole. I disagree. That was a completely different set of circumstances when that worked out 3 years ago to win a championship. That was like, yes, he was fantastic throughout the regular season. He could take over when Steph was out, and therefore he could effectively be your lead scorer. You could put the ball in his hands. He could break you down. He can knock down his free throws. And by the way, he looks better again this year.
Yep.
He really does. But that player had Andrew Wiggins at his height. That player still had Klay Thompson on the team. It was just a different stew. There were different ingredients on that. And I don't think that was sustainable. And I don't think you can repeat that. I understand somebody saying that what the Warriors are missing is somebody who can do a lot of those things. But I'm stuck on what Steve Kerr said before the season. I am going to demand that this team scraps, claws, and goes crazy on defense. And they've been doing it. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. That's not a Jordan Poole thing.
No, it's not. And I don't think it's a Brandon Ingram thing either. And the caller, Atco, made a good point that he did get hurt last night, and now he's out indefinitely. And that's why I look at Dennis Schroeder as a piece that actually fits because of, you know, what you were saying before about reasons why you don't necessarily love him. Is he's feisty. He's an instigator. He's a great defender for his career. He has a positive defensive win share in every single season. And Cam Johnson is very similar to that. He's also a good defender.
Can I ask this question, too? And we'll keep taking calls on this. 888-957-9570. Who do you want to see the Warriors go get? But you want to know what is just a cockroach and is just so sticky is this Jimmy Butler idea. I've not met a damn person who thinks it's a good idea. And it won't go away. Why is that rumor still out there? Who are you giving up for Jimmy Butler? And at age 35, like I can understand the skill set. It's very alluring to have somebody who can really score the basketball at a high level. I understand that, but that just does not feel like a Warrior type move. And who are you giving up to get him? Because the salary is through the roof. What is it? Is it 45? Is
48.
It more? 48?
48. Yeah, so we'll just put Wiggins in and Melton and GP2 and you need to throw in a little bit more even.
Probably Lindy Waters. That's like
I would go with Gee.
Fine. Go with Gee.
Gee got to go.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
All right, so say
Wiggins,
it again.
Melton, Payton, and Santos for Jimmy Butler.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard. It's not the worst. What kind of draft capital is that going to cost you?
Yeah, you probably have to throw in a pick as well. And, you know, Jimmy Butler has a player option for next year. And E, earlier with Steiny, was mentioning how he's already told Miami that he won't opt in to 52.4. But maybe if you trade for him and he comes here, he decides, I like it here, I'm opting in. And that kind of hamstrings you for next year.
And keep in mind, with all trades like that where you're getting back one player and trading away like four players, you have to save yourself enough money to where you can go and sign other players. Because if you're already at the minimum guys on your roster, you have to have at least 14. So if you're trading away four to get one major contract back, you need to save money elsewhere to sign other players of the veteran minimum.
Which I don't even know how they would do. Because as we know, with teams that
are Quentin Post, who you elevate.
No, but the point
Reece
is...
Reece Beekman.
Right, but financially, you're capped. You're capped. So you, like...
They use the D'Anthony Melton... They use the exception on D'Anthony Melton. Yes. They are capped. They only have, like, $400,000 left.
Right.
And that's not enough to sign anybody.
So there you go. Like, you have to have enough league minimums to throw bodies in there, and they wouldn't... Yep. That becomes very, very challenging.
This deal would give you a net savings of about $1.3 million.
Okay.
So that's one player, basically, right there.
Yeah. You need two more.
You can Quentin Post and Reece Beekman. How you doing?
Yeah.
How's that make you feel? And also,
it's not honestly, it doesn't make me I'm not nauseous over it.
Steph, Dre, Kuminga, Butler,
and
TJD, Slow-Mo, Buddy, Looney. It gives you that big
Poughkeepsie kid.
Yeah, top of the rotation piece, TJD.
I mean, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard. It's not the worst thing. I don't know that interests. Does that interest Miami? Again, I don't know what's the draft capital situation, but you know. If you can figure the money out there, that does feel a little go for it right now.
Yeah,
which
Steiny made an interesting point earlier about Kuminga going to Miami because he loves Spoelstra, as all of us do.
Yep, it's a good coach.
You know, he's thinking, man, you got a 22-year-old going to Miami to play for that organization. It kind of makes you shudder what Jonathan Kuminga could become. Now he's getting better here, but you send him to a place like that. And you would hate to see Kuminga in 2 years all of a sudden just be a dominant force.
To me, if you're a big Warrior fan, you're allowed to have all your feelings you want about their homegrown talent. Yeah, of course, obviously. And you can be a big Jonathan Kuminga fan. Over Thanksgiving, I was told by my mom, well, I don't want him to see. They should not trade Jonathan Kuminga. Like that.
The five for his Ellen Willard.
Please. She does that.
Mark?
Mark, why that's would they trade Jonathan Kuminga? Can you help me fix my phone? I like him. He's good. He flies. Okay, fine. You can love Jonathan Kuminga. But to me, you have to bake into this conversation the circumstances. You have the best thing that's ever happened to your organization and a ticking clock. And therefore, if you want to honor that and you want to go for it, you have to be willing, potentially, if you decide you're not really comfortable with the price for extending Kuminga anyway, you've got to get yourself comfortable with the idea that 2 years from now he might be awesome somewhere else. And you just have to eat that. You're just going to have to eat that if that's the way it goes. You know what I mean? Like, I think you have to take that chance potentially.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that the move that you're going to make
is going
to be worthwhile. So you bring in Jimmy Butler for half a year, and he decides not to exercise his player option. Well, then you've traded a very cost-controlled Wiggins, and, you know, GP2 and Melton are both off the books anyway, and Gui Santos, I used to love him until he started hating on my picks, but basically...
And laughing at you in the process. Amazing.
I hate your picks.
Yeah.
Basically...
Hey, area. It's Gui Santos here. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Your picks stink. It's pretty funny.
The little cute laugh at the end is the best part. Hey,
basically, you're trading Wiggins for half a year of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he's a better scorer.
And he made a good point earlier, Evan Giddings, that you would then have that salary spot to use. Jimmy Butler's 48 and change. You'd have that slot to go out and use that in the offseason. So it wouldn't be getting rid of Wiggins for nothing.
I mean, unless he opts in.
Well, then you got Steph making 59.6 and Jimmy making 52.4. So that right there is a $111. You throw in Draymond, you're at 136. And Moses, 147. And Buddy and Kyle, you're at 167. How are you going to sound Kuminga?
Yeah.
Now you're going to be over the tax. You're back in the second apron.
Yeah, yeah. Can't do it.
Won't do it.
Is it Rajay in Alameda? Hey, Rajay, I hope I said the name right. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Yes, hi. I would like to call, and I just wanted to say, I believe that the Warriors should trade for LeBron James. And the reason why I feel like that is because LeBron is a great player. He can be a mentor for the younger guys that are there, and he can put up points still. And, you know, he's an all-around great player. And I believe him and Steph Curry, with the connection and bond that they have, it could really bring a lot of great things to that team.
That one becomes also, Rajay, thank you very much. I mean, who are you giving up? That one's more complex from this perspective. The Lakers and Warriors getting together on a deal is hard. They don't really want to help each other out. And so what the Warriors would have to offer to make the LeBron thing work, I would bet Laker fans wouldn't like. I tried this on Ephraim on Sunday night.
He's a Laker fan, right?
He's a huge Laker fan.
Huge.
Like one of them crazy people. And I threw it at him, and he's open to the idea of moving on from LeBron. He thinks that this is getting pretty stale, the LeBron and AD thing. But then I threw back at him what the Warriors would give up, and he's like, "Oh no, we're not interested in that. Not interested in that."
What'd you tell him?
Well, it's centered around Wiggins.
Yeah,
they're not getting Kuminga. The Warriors aren't sending Jonathan Kuminga to the Lakers. Are you crazy? They're not doing that. And it doesn't work. Like, again, all of these high-priced guys, oddly, we always talk about Kuminga with them, but it's really hard to trade Jonathan Kuminga for one of the high-priced guys because he only makes $7 million.
Right.
You've got to use Wiggins as well, and I don't think the Warriors want to trade them both.
No chance. No chance. So
how do you do it? Well, how are we getting to $48 million when the key piece is only making seven?
That's a great question.
Thank you very much. You're going to get $41 million more without using Wiggins? I'll save you time. It's not possible.
Well, and then you get into the problem that Grandy so eloquently explained about roster spots, and if it's a 4-for-1, if you're trading...
It might be a 7-for-1.
Well, seriously, if you trade Melton and Kuminga and Buddy and GP and Looney, that gets you close, but that's a 5-for-1, and how are you going to fill out your roster now?
Yeah, and you stink.
Well, you got Bronny coming back.
Thanks. Thanks.
Bronny and Pods coming off the bench.
I mean.
Thanks.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Mike in Santa Clara. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. I just want to say, you know, I think the move, out of any move, if we're trying to go for the blockbuster, and I'm still saying it today, is it's got to be Giannis at this point. I just think that, you know, we have the capital to do it. If a move was to happen and Steph and him are, you know, BFFs and everything, but we have the capital to do it, but I'm not saying that we should do it, but if we were to make a big move, that's the guy that we need to actually go for. I just think that, you know, with that in mind, yeah, we're going to have to take a lot of capital outside, take a lot of capital of, like, the players that we have at that point. And I just don't see anything else that could work. But we also would still have a future with Giannis also. And so, I just think that that's the best move to do. I would prefer, if anything, not to make a move and just see how it plays out. But if we can, you know, put Steph, Dre, and Giannis together, I mean, that's a super team right there.
Well, Mike, you know? I don't disagree with how alluring, thanks, Mike, Giannis is. I don't disagree with that at all. I'll start with the same point I just made, though, about LeBron. If Kuminga is the centerpiece, and for someone like Giannis, you would think that he would have to be in the deal. I don't see how it gets done without giving up Wiggins also, and then a bunch of other pieces too, and now you have roster problems, financial roster problems, and actual roster problems. Oddly, somehow, you could get Giannis, and I could see you being a worse team because you're so top-heavy, and two of them are Steph and Dre, who are old and need rest in and out of the lineup.
You want the trade machine results?
Yeah. Go ahead. What do they got to give up for Giannis?
Giannis is making 48.7.
That's all?
Yeah. Well, okay. Just interesting you say that, because next year it's 54, then 58, then clears throat for once, not because he's sick. 62.8.
It's not even that big a deal, isn't it? Steph's already almost making that.
Well, I think that'll be the year that Steph's not under contract. So
right. But my point is like,
if Steph wants to extend for 67, then what are we even doing? But yeah, the trade would be Wiggins, Melton, Kuminga, and enemy number one, Gui Santos, who's a part of every trade now. Gui, you got to go. That trade actually works. Yeah. But John Hollinger's analysis of the trade: the Bucks would benefit by eight wins. The Warriors would lose 7 wins.
And there's another problem.
7 wins.
The Bucks have won 8 of their last 10 games.
Damn it.
They are back to having a winning record, and they are in the top 6 in the East. That talk of this being a dumpster fire from 2 weeks ago doesn't look much like a dumpster fire.
Life comes at you fast,
so
man.
I do think that the Giannis idea is not something that doesn't have legs. I just don't think it has legs now. That's probably an off-season thing. It's not a win a championship this year thing. It's probably a transitional next year, see if you can win as Steph has the curtain falling, and then Giannis becomes your next centerpiece type of a deal. So I'm not calling it off the table, but the Warriors right now, I believe, they are of the mindset of two things. They're always of the mindset of big game hunting if it's available. But secondarily, they're very much uber-focused on this season. And their trade target, I think, might have changed from, can we get another star, to, we need somebody who does what Melton was supposed to do. And that's a much smaller deal. But they feel like that can help them win games. And so that kind of a deal could happen as quickly as Christmas.
Yeah. Or it could drag out until February,
sure,
depending on who that is.
Sure, it could.
That's why I think the idea of a Melton for Schroeder, which is not a big blockbuster trade, that's the kind of deal that if you did it earlier, that would add wins as opposed to wait until February.
I don't hate it, but again, Melton is a chip in any trade. So if you take him off the table, it's going to limit potentially what else you can do in February. So to me, if you're going to talk to the Brooklyn Nets about multiple players, do it all at once. Do it all at once. Because you are still, it's not like anything's going to happen right now with the Warriors where they're going to like just fall
skyrocket
off a cliff.
Yeah.
No, or skyrocket. Yeah. They're not going to fall out of this thing. They're good enough to win a lot of basketball games as currently constructed. You're not in like, the sirens are not going off, but they could if we get past the holidays. Alex in Oakland next up. What up, Alex? What you doing?
What's up, fellas?
What's good?
I got the best idea I think I heard anybody on the radio say today. Why don't the Warriors let Steve Kerr and the coaching staff develop and coach the players that they got and be done with it? Why just coach the players you got, develop the young players that you got, and be done with it? Because the same players you're trying to get, you can turn them into the players you want. You got them right there. turn him into the player you want him to
but,
be.
But Alex, is simple. Is it simple? Like you don't know that. You don't know exactly what they can become. You don't know if developing them, and I get where you're coming from, where I think you're kind of saying that the Warriors and Steve Kerr aren't good at developing young players. I'd argue back a little bit on that, but that's kind of beside the point right now. I don't think you ever fully know exactly who someone's going to become, number one. And number two, we've done this on the radio a lot. I think the person who has the biggest problem with your idea is Steph Curry. Like they don't want to develop for 2 years from now. He wants to win this year.
I'll tell you like this. Looking at basketball as a whole and how you coach players as a whole, Kobe Bryant wasn't Kobe Bryant in his first couple of years. Steph Curry wasn't Steph Curry in his first couple of years. But what happened? They developed. You got to develop the players. It's not like you're going to win a championship this year.
Well, see, and they don't agree with you there. That way, they don't agree with you, Alex. And you're not wrong, but just because that was Kobe and Steph, like, how many of those are there? So that's all. I don't necessarily see it as if you develop them, they'll definitely be stars. They might be, but they might not be. And the Warriors don't have a whole lot of time, you know, Alex?
I do, but looking back, my last point. Looking back, since everybody's trying to get this score, looking back, and you can't change the past now, but you did not discipline Draymond Green and you let your future star get away. You paid that dude a lot of money to do exactly what he was doing, but you let him get away because you didn't discipline Draymond Green. So don't cry and clamor for another player now. Develop the ones you got, and you're going to be okay.
Alex, thank you for calling. And on this one, we don't quite see it the same way, because here's what I still think a lot of people forget. If you're still mad at the way the organization handled the Jordan Poole situation, I get it. And if you like the way Jordan is playing this year, I get it. But here's what people forget about Jordan Poole. His basketball team has won 3 games this year.
This year?
They have won 3 times.
Yeah.
They have the worst record in the entire NBA, and it is not close. So when you say, man, there's your score, there's your future star, no. There are so many people who can score 20 points a game and get beat by 15.
He's having a good year.
He's having a good year, but not really.
Well.
Because it's not winning basketball. I said the same thing about this guy all along.
They beat Denver 3 days ago.
Great.
He had 39.
Cool. They're 3-19.
They came back the next night against Memphis. He had 9 points. They lost by 28.
There you go.
That's Washington in a nutshell.
Well, it's Jordan Poole in a nutshell. I do not believe that Jordan Poole was their future star. I do not believe that Jordan Poole will ever be a star on a winning team.
Is Jonathan Kuminga their future star?
Don't know yet. If I had to guess, I'd say no.
And I agree with you, but, I mean, he sure is turning a lot of heads. But
yeah, he's a good player.
But if that is what you believe, if you as an organization, if you are Mike Dunleavy and I am whoever, Steve Kerr or whoever else is up, power broker in the front office. If we believe that, then it behooves us to make a trade that involves Jonathan Kuminga.
I agree. But, like, yes, the jury is still out, but it's a complex question because it's not even just about is Jonathan Kuminga somebody who can fill it up with 25 a night? Does he fit what you do?
Right.
Does he fit this time? Does the timeline fit? All of these things. And so, yeah, I can see the Kuminga thing taking at least 2 more months. They've upped his role. I think they want to see what he can do, and I think that speaks volumes. They've upped his role not just because they're like, boy, we'll start winning all our games if we up his role. They're like, no, all right, it's time to see it. Let's see it. Are you worthy of $40 million a year or not? Here you go. You're starting. So, we'll see. Manly Man is on the phone. Manly Man in the City. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. 3 things, and I'll make them quick, and I hope to get your feedback. Number one, what's his name from Miami? It's too old to
Jimmy
bring over in a trade. Yeah. Jimmy Butler, thank you very much. That a Brent and me, brain freeze. He's too old. Don't bother with him. Number two, two of the players from the Nets would be okay. Cam Johnson and the German star, Schroeder. Those both can play, even though Schroeder's small. He's fast enough to make it up on the offensive end. And he hounds people like Gary Payton. So those two guys would be fairly affordable. Probably only cost the Warriors one first round and a couple of seconds at the most. Third, and the most, well, four actually. Third, I don't think you can afford LeBron from LA. There's just too many players we have to give up and too much money. But I was reading on the Bleacher Report yesterday that Fox from Sacramento was available, and the trade that they had on the Bleacher Report was very, very enticing and not very expensive.
What's up?
That would be one great player. Fox from the Sacramento Kings. He was mentioned in a trade, and I don't remember the team that was trading with him, but they had him only getting two first-round picks and two or three other players that were not superstars in any way, shape, or form. And that would be a great pickup to get for us because he can play offense, he attacks the basket, and he can shoot the three. He's not great at it, but he does. And he would be the future of the franchise in two more years when Curry leaves.
Manly man, okay. I'm glad you brought this up. Thank you very much for the call. There is a buzz around De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. My first question is, would the Kings even engage the Golden State Warriors in that conversation?
No. No. I mean,
I like, that's kind of my inclination too, is that, like, I love, let's have the conversation, but I feel like it's kind of a non-starter because of the two teams we're talking about.
Agreed. And the two owners we're talking about.
Yeah.
Vivek Ranadive, who used to be a minority owner here and left to start his own thing. And that little brother complex and the fact that the Kings want what the Warriors had. So you're not just going to trade the Warriors your best player in the interest of what? Starting over again? They finally have something cooking in Sacramento. They've got a competitive team. They've got a core group of players that are loved by the fan base. They got the neat little beam. They've got a new arena.
I feel like you're overstating how they're feeling about what's going on right now. Sacramento's very frustrated. They have a losing record right now.
Right.
But they're
a week away from being the seventh seed.
I don't know. The DeMar DeRozan thing has not been an easy fit. There is talk of a De'Aaron Fox, you know, move. I just don't think the Warriors, I don't think they could get their hands on him. I don't know if they have what Sacramento would need. I don't know that he's a perfect fit for what the Warriors need, the financial commitment, but above all is what you said. I just don't think these two teams would.
Right.
I don't think Sacramento would send De'Aaron Fox to the Warriors. I don't think they would do that. That's too political, almost. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. He's got 2 years left in his deal, and he's making almost 35.
I love the player. I love De'Aaron Fox. That'd be incredible if you were a Warrior. But I do not think that's a possibility.
Just got his signature shoe in the Curry brand.
Fair enough.
It looks pretty nice.
There you go.
And yep. Steph was wearing them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, maybe he's recruiting them.
Yeah. Still. I know players got a lot of power. I don't know if they got that much power. We're sponsored by the California Lottery, and we're not done with your calls. We're taking your calls all the way up to the buzzer, 888-957-9570. Who do you want to see the Warriors get? There's the Brooklyn package. There's LeBron. There is Jimmy Butler. There is the whole other category. Go ahead, dial it up right now. We'll take your calls on Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. It's a great question. That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
We've been on a roll. Hey, want to go over to 95.7 The Game on Twitter, and you can vote. I know voting day is mainly passed, but it's been up there for a little while now. What proposed trade idea intrigues you the most if you're the Warriors? Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Or
stop.
A trade with the Brooklyn Nets for Cam Johnson, Dennis Schroeder, and Dorian Finney-Smith. Which one are you voting for?
I would vote for number three, even though I don't necessarily want Dorian or Finney or Smith.
Why? What do you got against DFS?
Nothing, but...
Why?
I would rather just get the two players. Get the two. Cam Johnson and Dennis Schroeder. I don't think you need to go full-on three for three.
Well...
Then you're kind of back where you started, where you've got too many bodies and not enough spots.
No, not necessarily. It depends on who gets thrown in there, and part of this is going to be what Brooklyn wants. Clearly, Brooklyn would like to clear space. And so... That might, you know, again, when we talk about, oh, why would Brooklyn do it without Kuminga? Well, here's what Brooklyn gets. They get Melton. That's expiring. And they may be able to take some of their other contracts that they are trying to get off of their books and get them off of their books. And then it's cleared, you know? So I don't know exactly what everybody's motivation is, but there's a reason those three names have all come up at once from Shams. There's a reason. And I'm with you. That's what I voted for. And guess what? We're winning.
So that's $50 million worth of Nets right there.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, Finney-Smith, and Schroeder.
Yeah, it's not that hard to get there, though.
Well, Wiggins.
Wiggins.
And Melton.
Melton.
Sorry, Melton, you're in every deal.
Yep.
And then...
You're talking like GP2 and Lindy Waters.
Again.
And you're home.
Guy Santos has got to go.
I tried that. It didn't work.
Lindy
Waters makes another $500,000.
Oh, he does.
Yep. Over, like, wow. Literally, it comes down to that. I tried on the trade machine for what you just said. I tried to send Guy out of here for coming after you and your picks, but it didn't work. So I had to change it to Lindy Waters.
And Lindy Waters. Yeah, Guy falls short.
Yes, Lindy Waters.
No, because
what did you think I was talking about? Ricky Waters? What are we doing?
That'd be pretty cool if you could include him. Yeah, this one falls 113 grand shy.
Exactly.
When it's Guy.
Right. So try it with Waters. You're going to get a green light.
Green check?
I did this at 10 o'clock this morning.
That's so funny. Lindy.
Do it. Watch what happens.
Booyah.
Yep. Winner.
Brooklyn loses one win. The Warriors gain one win.
Well, we'll be the judge.
That's according to the Hollinger analysis. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. But obviously, there's a lot more that goes into it. Let's go to Josh on 580. What's up, Josh? What's good?
What up, fellas, man? Happy Tuesday. So,
yes, sir.
It's always fun to talk about, you know, possible trades. I think the Warriors right now, what we're talking about, they need a star if they're going to get over the hump, right? We're talking about the Nets. That's a bunch of role players. You already have good, solid role players. More role players isn't really going to do anything, right? So you think about trying to get a star player, you got to think about guys that are disgruntled. Teams, hold on.
Josh, we lost you. We lost you, brother.
Hold up.
We lost you. And then you came back from the dead. You're like DeMar Hamlin on the radio, man. You're like, you're back.
I'm back.
All right,
so
reset your point. All we heard was that you think the Nets are a bunch of role players and we need a star.
Got you. Right. So we need a star, right? So if you need a star, you got to find a team, kind of like fantasy football, where you got to get the best player from the worst team because they got to make something happen, right? They got to kind of be a disgruntled situation. There's not a lot of players like that besides Jimmy Butler, and he doesn't really work because he wants to get paid too much, and he's really not good enough to really make the impact that he was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So what I look at, which I heard a lot in the rumor mill a couple weeks ago, which I thought was very interesting at the time, was Vucevic from the Bulls. The Bulls aren't going anywhere. Vucevic is a former All-Star. He's making $20 million a year. You wouldn't necessarily have to give up too much. You know, put in the trade machine, see what it spits out. But you wouldn't have to give up too much to get him. He's a stretch five. You can add, you know, a presence down low. You can give him the ball when you kind of need some crutch buckets to kind of run the offense through him. You can pass it a little bit. He's playing pretty good this year. And he's under contract for next year. Then after that, he's off the books. So I just thought that was an interesting name that was floated around a couple weeks ago that the Warriors were interested in. It kind of died out. But to me, that makes the most sense because he's a good enough player that he really impacts the team by a lot, and you don't have to give up a lot to give him. And I think the Bulls will be willing to get off of him because they're not going anywhere. They're kind of stuck in purgatory, so they might have to start over again. So that, to me, out of all the names, is the kind of the name to go to because he's not getting paid a lot. He doesn't want to get paid a lot, and he can actually help you win games. So just a quick food for thought that we haven't talked about that I think is worth talking about.
Josh, thanks. Yeah. Lot to chew on here.
Melton and GP2, for Vucevic, it works.
Well, and
you'd have to give him a pick.
More than a pick.
Right.
More than a pick. Like that, because obviously you're not giving them GP2. You're not giving them anything in terms of player capital. The whole thing would be about picks and expiring deals. Okay. There's a lot to chew on there. In theory, I agree with everything Josh just said. The only two things I didn't agree with are, one, when he says, nobody's talked about this. And I'm like, we spent a lot of time on Nikola Vucevic last week. But Josh, I love where your brain's at. Here's the only real issue with it, is that I do think that in this moment, the Warriors' needs have pivoted a little bit. We love the idea, us fans, we always have, of a big man, and a big man who can score. So Vucevic is right. It's not that expensive.
That's why we spent a whole month on marketing it.
There you go. He's a 2010 guy. He seems to fit the Warriors. I get it. The problem is the Warriors in this moment sound to me to be almost a little bit more activated about an immediate need at a ball handler position. They lost Melton, and Pods is having a bad year. And the Warriors are looking at their season and they're going, this wonderful start we have is teetering. And I think they think that's the reason. And Vucevic does nothing for you there.
Yeah.
I think that they think that right now they would still have the exact same problem. So it doesn't take Vucevic off the board. Maybe that's a February thing. But I think right now they want to use some assets to fix an immediate need, and he doesn't fix it.
Well, the immediate need could be fulfilled from within if Pods could play better. Then you'd have that ball handler.
Sure, but you're what are you? You're over a quarter of the way of the season in, and they're like, they're waiting.
Yeah. He hasn't been great. He's been inconsistent, and he's been a little sloppy with some of the passes that you're asking him to make.
He has Steve Kerr slamming a table.
Yeah.
Like, that got underplayed. I'm sorry. That got so underplayed.
Well, and you made a good point about the fact that if Steve Kerr brought this to the public, how many times behind closed doors has this already been addressed?
48.
Right, exactly.
48. And he admitted as much to us. He said that he was being strategic. He said that he's already talked to him multiple times.
And he said he doesn't just say things without thinking him through, and he says things that he's pretty sure that he wants to say.
Like he's frustrated.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, this is a young player, let's make a tweak. He's like, dude, you're not hearing me. He's very, very frustrated. And so I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes with Pods right now. And the words you hear the team use are always pressing. He's trying too hard. He takes it too seriously. He needs to relax. That's all true, but you're in a results-based business. And so the Warriors can sit here and go, well, we feel confident that he'll work it out. Or maybe they don't, and maybe they don't even care. Right? They've shown in the past. You don't have time to sit here and let people work it out. Steph Curry's career is going away. Did I call him Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Steph Curry's career. It's getting late in the show, brother. Steph Curry's career is ticking, man. No time to let him work it out. So
Melton, Pods, Lindy, and Gee for Vucevic. Done.
Now there's nobody handling. Who's handling the ball now? Steph's playing 48 minutes every night.
That's it.
That's one way we could do it.
Pat Spencer. Number 61 in your program, number one in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat Spencer.
I don't know if either of those things are true. I think the 61 part is
facts.
But as you know, I don't know.
No. Numbers are numbers, and you're not good at player numbers.
Those are not my numbers.
No. Nope.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Thank you. All right. You know what's coming up?
Gucci.
Yeah, it's a lot more of this. It's a lot more of this. Everything going on with the Warriors.
Dance.
Man, and tomorrow night's kind of special, right?
Quarterfinals,
NBA Cup. The Rockets and the Warriors already have a little thing going. If there's one team in the world that the Rockets think has their number, it's the Warriors. Shingun, questionable.
Yeah, my guy.
Questionable.
I love the goon.
Yeah. So
can't spell Shingun without goon. These are just facts.
Except for
do you know how to spell his name?
But it's gun. It's not goon.
It's all about the pronunciation.
Well, sensation. You said spell,
and I needed to crack on Steiny earlier because it's not an umlaut. It's an umlaut.
I don't even know what the hell you just said.
Because he said, because apparently Evan called him Schroeder once on accident, and Steiny said, I do this to Goose, so I got to do it to you, Evan. It's Schroeder. There's an umlaut, and it's actually an umlaut.
I'm tired of getting pushed around!
Is that those two little dots on the top of it? Is that
two dots?
You could have given me an hour, and I wouldn't have even had a guess at what that thing is called.
It's an umlaut.
An umlaut?
Yeah.
Or an umlaut?
I was just going to crack him, but it was nitpicking, okay. So I let it go.
Well, you're good at that. That's all good.
Whatever.
Your picks.
My nitpicks don't, though.
Yeah, no, they're
pretty good.
Don't bet on the Cowboys. You want to do this again tomorrow?
I'll let you know. Today went pretty well, though.
Yeah, you were questionable.
Yeah.
And you are again.
Faded a little bit. A little bit of the Michael Crabtree in the last hour.
That's okay.
Fade so route.
I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
It worked, too.
Warriors Roundtable, Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean, standing by. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.